A damning Auditor-General's report has held that the New South Wales government is responsible for many regional communities almost running dry during the drought. It found the state government hasn't effectively supported or overseen town water infrastructure planning since at least 2014. As climate change places greater pressure on our water resources, governments will need to do more to ensure there's equitable access to water. Today, one of the Australia's leading water experts is launching a Water Justice Hub, which aims to be a voice for fair and equitable water access. It's the brainchild of Australian Laureate Fellow Quentin Grafton from the ANU, who joins us now. Welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me on, Geraldine.
I wonder what you made of the Auditor General's report. Where does it fit into this discussion of water justice?
Well, water justice is about making sure that people have basic water needs met. And there are some people in Australia, particularly in remote communities, that don't. They drink water quality that's totally inadequate. There's also communities, as you pointed out, Geraldine, in New South Wales and elsewhere, that actually ran out of water because of the drought, but also because of water planning and how state water plans are set up so that there can be a large amounts of extraction upstream, which basically means that the water doesn't flow, and it doesn't flow for months before it would have stopped flowing. So that's a problem. And you highlighted a report that just came out to the New South Wales Auditor General, and it identified a whole series of issues associated with the department responsible. But this is, you know, this is 2020, you know, 2,400 years ago, the Roman Republic was providing public latrines and was providing water for its citizens in the Roman Republic. You know, I think we can do better today globally, 2,400 years later, but fortunately we're not.
I wonder how you do define water justice, though. What issues does it cover?
It covers, I think, three basic issues. One is the basic needs, and I think everyone gets that. You need a basic amount of water for cleaning, for washing purposes, and clearly for drinking. And the UN suggests that's about 50 litres a day per person. And then you need to have distributional justice. And what does that mean? It just basically means a fair share for all. So a town water supply in Wilcannia in the Lower Darling doesn't run out of water simply because people have extracted too much upstream, even though the law of the land in New South Wales would give priority to town water supply. So that's fair share. And then the third thing is what we'd call procedural justice, which means that everyone has a respected voice and a respected seat at the table. And that's clearly not happening in Australia. So it's three things: basic needs, making sure there's a fair share, and three, making sure that there's a respected voice and seat at the table. We need all three.
I suppose it could be argued that that you also need, well, progress, you can define it, I suppose, but the notion that water just remains allocated or flows exactly as it always has over the years ignores the changing needs of communities and the need of industry, the need for job creation. I mean, isn't there likely to be some sort of contest over this vital commodity? Where do you place that?
Absolutely, that's a contest, and we're seeing it all over Australia, but also globally as well. So basically, there's not enough water to go around for everyone's greed, I suppose. There's certainly enough water for everyone's need, because when you think about the amount of water that's consumed by town water supply, it's a fraction of the amount of water that's used for extraction for, let's say, irrigation purposes. So when you take the Murray-Darling Basin, about 70% of extractions are for irrigation, about 85% are for water consumption. So town water supply is a very small proportion of that. So there's certainly enough to reallocate.
And you think that's askew, do you? You think that's been askew for a while?
Well, clearly we need irrigation in the Murray-Darling Basin. It's a good thing to have. It's a question of reallocating so that there's enough water for communities so they can drink, and there's enough water for the environment so that we have a sustainable landscape and a sustainable waterscape. But it's not just the Murray-Darling Basin. That's some area that I've worked a lot in, but it's true in Western Australia. It's true in Northern Australia. I mean, the whole set of issues around rivers, streams, people want to have access to that for extraction purposes. We need to make sure that that extraction doesn't damage our long-term future. We need to make sure that that extraction doesn't mean that people do without. So we do get, in fact, a fair share for all. And we also need to make sure that those people who are affected by these decisions are actually around the table so they can help make those decisions rather than that decision being made by just a handful of people.
So what is your Water Justice Hub designed to do then?
Well, we're researchers, we're truth tellers, so we're designed to look at facts and evidence, interpret them and publish, and then work with communities. So if communities want to work with us, we'll work with them. it's a value proposition. So if they want something in terms of their priorities, we'll try and assist them in terms of what we do, which is research and facts and evidence. And then hopefully those communities can engage in terms of those people who make the decisions and water sharing plans or whatever it might be.
So you're not a lobby group, really?
Absolutely not a lobby group. We're not advocates in the sense of advocating any political party. We're advocates for justice is what we are, and we're certainly not lobbyists. We're researchers, truth tellers, and communities want to work with us, we'll certainly do that.
I mean, I can imagine quite a few people listening to say, well, we think we're truth tellers too. You know, what makes an academic think that he's got the priority on truth?
Well, we live in a post-truth world, Geraldine. We know about Donald Trump and everyone else who talks about and gives opinions which actually aren't factually correct. So when we do our work, we have to get it published in peer-reviewed literature, not by our friends, not by people who we know, and not by people who we pay. So if it gets that past that test, then at least we can say it's passed a pretty good test. It may not be guaranteed gold standard of this is the way the world is going to be for the next 100 years, but it nevertheless passes that test, and I think then we can start to make decisions based on that evidence.
But
much better than using opinion.
Well, we can imagine, can we, press releases from you, from the Water Justice Group, say on the Murray-Darling, my goodness, how many sort of opinions do we get of people who clearly believe they are really trying their very best? So you're joining a group, you're joining a community of discussion around water.
Absolutely, Geraldine. I don't claim to have all the knowledge and evidence, and that it resides in communities and other people. The point about it is there has to be a debate and a dialogue. So when I say something, it's going to be based on evidence. People can dispute it. They can disagree. Then they can give their own evidence. But simply giving an opinion against the evidence that I've had published in the literature is, I don't think, is adequate. So they have to have their own evidence. And that's how we make this debate go forward.
You want to raise the standard of the debate generally. I mean, I just have to... You've particularly identified the need for this country to tackle water justice for Indigenous Australians.
Now, absolutely.
And we know that a lot of communities don't have safe or adequate water, and that is linked with poor health outcomes. But that's also linked with politics, you know? The power doesn't appear to be there. So... how are you going to try to contribute to that?
Well, I'm not a politician, so I can contribute by actually telling the way the world is, and that helps. So Paul Keating was just on, our former Prime Minister, talking about transparency, and I fully agree with him. That's what we need. We need transparency, and transparency requires evidence and facts, and that's what we'll try and provide. But you're right, there are politics. There are decisions that are made.
It's about power, isn't it?
It's certainly favoured upstream irrigators in the Murray-Darling Basin, and it's certainly disestablished, the priorities that should have accorded to downstream communities. But, I mean, if you're talking about Indigenous Australia, so in the Murray-Darling Basin in New South Wales, in terms of water rights, Aboriginal corporations own 0.2% of the water holdings of those water rights, 0.2%, yet they represent about 10% of the population. Mm-hmm. And that's declined since 2009. That, again, is a piece of evidence from published literature. It's just come out, not my work. It came out a couple of months ago. But those are the sorts of pieces of evidence we need to have on the table in the discussions about water justice.
Well, I look forward to it. Thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Thanks, Geraldine.
Professor Quentin Grafton from the ANU, which is launching a new Water Justice Hub today at 6 to 9.